We will go ahead and a call to order. It's about 8:15. And I would like to, I'm going to read the agenda, what I have, but there'll be a couple, I want to move a couple of things, actually one thing. I want to move number two and put it down to number four and make number four number two for now, and then hope that Lee gets here for number three to give treasurer's report. I'm changing the reading of the minutes. Yeah, I'm rearranging two and four. And that'll make it easy for us to go into the elections part and talk about a couple of things in regards to that. So number two will be membership. And I will just say for myself, since Lee's not here, that if you haven't paid your dues, get with Lee about that. And also we have membership forms at the booth. And so feel free to go out to the booth if necessary, and you can pay your dues there. Yes, you can pick up a couple of forms. We should have enough there. And also, too, I'll just plug the booth. There's 50-50 tickets at the booth, and that will be drawn tonight at the banquet. I'll take the tickets with me since I am going. And there's also a few beds left. And so we feel free to go and buy a bed if you haven't bought one of them. The beds are $35. And they're a portable bed for those who may not know what they look like. They come in a canvas bag. And when you pull it out of there, no, not canvas. It's like a nylon bag. They're fairly thick and very soft. The one side has like a slick bottom, the same sort of nylon material, and then the top part is very soft and whatnot. And they're very, very easy to clean. Oh, yes. Throw it in the washer. You can wash it in. I just wash it in cold water. Hang it up, it dries in 2 hours. No problem. So, or you can put it in the dryer. I recommend low heat or hang it up and dry. Yeah. So they're very good. I've taken Tennyson's I don't know how many places. So. Save a spot for Lee. All right. So that is that. Number three would be our treasurer's report, and we need Lee for that. So we still don't have Lee. All right, then we're going to have to come back. Okay. Well, Lee, if you can get yourself settled, we're at the treasurer's report. Oh, okay. She's not okay. Misunderstood. All right. So then we're going to come back to it so that she can get a chance to get here. She's probably still giving the cash box to the raisers for the booth. Number four would be reading of minutes, and I will go into that. One of the seats that we will be voting on for here at with number five is our secretary. Jerry Arakawa has been our secretary for quite a long time, and he has unfortunately missed more than three meetings. That too. And so by According to our Constitution, that means he needs to either be asked to resign or removed from office. In writing to Jerry, he did actually write to me finally Tuesday of this past week, and he has submitted a letter of resignation, and so we will be having an election here to replace him for a six-month period, and then in the fall, we will have elections anyway, and his seat will come up at that point. Wait a minute. Actually, I'm kind of blanking because this is an odd year. So, yes, in the fall will be president and treasurer. President and secretary. So, yes, that position will be voted upon in the fall. Anyway, so it will just be a temporary six-month period. If someone is interested in that. So just keep that in mind. And for this meeting, Pam is graciously taking minutes. So, yes. Is the noise out there a problem?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Alrighty. So that kind of explains our reading of minutes. And so basically, Jerry also didn't have anything to submit, so we don't have any minutes, and so hopefully this is something that we can improve. Yes. Okay. Really? Okay. Well, if you have some recollection of anything from the last minutes, I will let you have the mic.
Well, we voted, we did vote for vice president.
We did vote for vice president, and we didn't realize that, okay, it's not.
We talked a little bit about, first we voted for vice president and treasurer, and we didn't realize that David had termed out. Dave Jackson had termed out, so we had voted him back in. So Mary Beth let me know that he did term out. We talked about, what was it, dear? The people sitting down or trying to get sit down? Oh, Lee, that's who here. I hear Lee. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I was running a little late. Then,
yes, okay.
The
we talked about the resolution. We talked a resolution. We talked. Huh? We talked about the Constitution and that we would get it. Ken has gotten it done, and we've gotten it to Mary Beth, and I actually have it on my Braille note too, on my Victor actually. And what I'll do is I'll put it the mic up to the Victor, slow the Victor down, and you guys can listen to the Constitution, what was and what is.
That's a good way to put it, huh?
Yeah.
The changes,
the proposed
changes.
And I think we have two.
How many resolutions do we have? We have at least two resolutions. We talked about what we could do to help build membership and to rebuild membership in GDUC, and coming up with ideas on things that we could do to rebuild GDUC. I think that was pretty much it. Huh? That was pretty much it. Then we adjourned. So, but we will. So I have them. I have them in my box.
I have all kinds of other stuff, but that was the only thing.
I don't delete anything from my.
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's one thing. And I have all kinds of emails. So, you don't want to know how many.
Yeah, that's it. I started.
All right. So if we can peacefully find a seat, if you're joining us, that would be fantastic. Would there be a motion to accept the minutes as we know them to be, or do we? Okay, is there a second? Diane makes the motion. Who seconds? Yes. Okay. Okay, no, that makes sense, Frank. So appreciate that. Okay, and then we can take care of that in the fall at our next meeting. All right, and definitely appreciate the point of order. All right, then before we go on to number 5, if we could go back to number 3 and have Lee give a treasurer's report, that would be good. And if we could get the mic to Lee. All right. We just need to get somebody to help us with the mic because I'm not going to be able to get to it.
Oh, I got it. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, if you're talking about age, I am celebrating the 32nd anniversary. This Wednesday, I will celebrate the 32nd anniversary of my 29th birthday. So do the math. Yep. Okay, our balance right now our opening balance was around $2,284.05, and these are the things we took in. $2,284.05. We took in $527 that were divvied up in this way, $300 in dues. Now there are people who paid today, you know, during over the weekend, but that's not going to be reflected in this report because that's too short notice. Beds, $210, and then about $117 on the raffle, which okay, and we took out, unfortunately, $100 for seed money that was taken from that raffle money, actually. We took out $112 to send to GDUI for dues, $50 to the California Council of the Blind for their dues, $40 for to order a booth, you know, to get the booth in for this convention, and $32.55 to Postal Annex to send a lot of the stuff up to this convention so it would be up here in time. And that gives us currently an ending balance of $2,091.60. Yes. It's from basically the 6 months from the November convention to now. Right. Because then the new stuff will be in the next convention. Because it's a little short notice to put in the new stuff. Okay. Yes. And I do want to say there was a member who, I don't know, I never got her check. And I am sorry about that. I don't know whether she sent it to a wrong address or it just got lost in the mail. But we're going to pay for her part of the Gadooly thing and just send it up, and she will be counted in the membership. So if anyone sees her, this particular individual, let her know that, and she has my apologies. Thank you. Margie Donovan. Okay. Yeah. Okay. They are usually our membership year is from January 1st to December 30th. Our calendar year and the fiscal year all are the same year. But let's face it, and I do this too with affiliates, a lot of people tend to pay their dues. Some of them send them in the mail, but a lot of them send them in after Christmas, or if they know they're only going to come to the Northern California, they just pay them then anyway. And it's just the way things go sometimes. But theoretically, yes, if you want to really get them on time and all that, the time to pay them is during the fall convention is the best time. But then all that's probably going to change because we don't know when once we get to a once-a-year format, when that time will be. It sounds like the conventions will be in the spring, but I don't know. We'll have to see how that all plays out. I think we're all looking and seeing how that's going to play out.
Okay, here, let's give a mic to Kim. Oh, but
here's the mic back.
From at least until it's voted on, the amendment last night that's proposed by CCB will require money into CCB by February 15th, starting next year. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, and just for clarification, too, the way our current constitution stands, dues are delinquent after January 1st, technically. But money can come in until February 15th. And so we have sort of that little bit of a time period that dues can get paid in, paid up. And since that is something that we won't be doing as a part of the reading this morning, there will most likely need to be an additional thing to consider in the fall, and we can work with it between now and then. Because since the CCB's may change about when they would like dues in, it might be a good idea for us to consider making a reflective change to have our own dues in before that date so that we have a little bit of leeway to deal with making sure that we get the stuff into CCB in timely fashion. So I think we might want to take that into consideration. Yeah, I think it will. Do you have anything else, Lee? Okay, for the. since we're recording the meeting, Lee had the beds between last convention and this convention, and since Lee has a time constraint, Pam had been willing to take the beds, and actually that's. She will now be the official guide dog bed chairperson. Even if there isn't such a thing, it is now. So Pam will be the person that you can contact between convention, this convention and this convention. All right. And all right, and that was who? Nellie, okay. Who is that? Ken? All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any nays? Abstentions? All right. Motion carries. Okay. The next thing on our agenda then is the elections, and thank you. The only positions that we need to vote on for this election will be for secretary and for an open board seat. And we'll start with the secretary position. And so are there any nominations? I will say, because the person indicated that they were willing, is that I nominate David Jackson. Yes. He's right next to us here. Actually,
do you want me to make a statement?
Well, let's see if there are any other nominations. Are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? Our Ken Metz moves that nominations be closed and David be elected by acclamation. Mm-hmm. All those in favor?
Aye.
Nays? Any abstentions? All right. And David, you are it. I'll let you.
There you go.
Oh, who seconded?
Vita.
Okay.
Thank you very much. I wanted just to let you know that I have been a secretary and was a secretary for many years for my home chapter, which is the San Francisco chapter. So you will be you can feel well assured that these meetings that I'll attend will be recorded. And okay, so that's basically all I have to say. I just want to let you know that that's. I will do my best.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Thank you very much, David. And so, Pam, when you want to send that info to me, if you would also include David so that David will have those, that would be fantastic. Okay. The next position that we need to fill is one board seat. David Jackson had served in that seat for two terms, so he termed out. And so I will open the floor to nominations. Ken Metz nominates Vita. Is there any other nominations?
I just have one question, sorry.
Yes.
I've never served on this board. What are the requirements?
Actually, we don't have real, mainly it would be assisting with, I know certainly for myself when I was just a director, I just sort of assisted with whatever kinds of things that we needed help with as far, I mean, sometimes it was helping at the booth, sometimes it was helping with maybe contacting someone if we were looking for puppy raisers or maybe even any speakers. Really, the director position hasn't been like a majorly busy kind of position. Attending board meetings. Yes, most of our meetings are telephonic. Some email. Do you have, so if you have email, and I'm pretty sure you do. Okay. All right, so then, are there any other nominations? Are there any other nominations? All right, Ken moves that nominations be closed. Who second? Aisha? Okay, and that Vita be elected by acclamation. All those in favor? Any nays? Abstentions? All right. Vita, thank you. Would you like to say something? We'll get the mic to you.
Vita, where are you?
Oh, down here.
Okay.
Okay. You
were right. Okay. I'm coming. I know. Here you go.
Thank you. There you go. No. I said to Frank yesterday, I'm not taking on any more responsibilities, but yeah. Anyway, it doesn't seem to work when you actually get here. But actually, I am excited about being, because I've been a member for a while, but I haven't taken on any responsibilities, and in order to, as we know, make a difference, you actually have to participate, not just be a member. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. Somebody say something at the front table. Okay. There we go. Okay, cool. Yeah. Boy, this thing is really heavy. Drop it on my foot.
Ouch. That would hurt. Yes, that would hurt. And Pam actually did have a legitimate question about when we established nominating committee. And I would actually, well, the way we've traditionally done it is in July, approximately, we have established nominating committee for elections in the fall. And so that's how that'll take place. Then that takes care of item number 5. Item number 6 is we need to elect a delegate, an alternate delegate to go to national for GDY. And so I have, nobody has brought in any names forward to me in regards to that, but I'll first ask who, if there are individuals that are interested in doing it that are actually going, so that we can kind of get an idea of who's actually going versus maybe not going. I'll be there, but I'll have other responsibilities. Okay. So nobody's going to ACB at all. Okay. Well, broke is a very legitimate thing. Well, I don't know if I've ever encountered this, and maybe I would have to approach someone like Frank or Roger for some assistance on how to. Yes. Okay.
That seems to me like the only sensible way to handle it. If the membership likes to come up with a better idea.
Yeah. I didn't hear the say the question again. GDUC votes in person. We vote in person unless we have a special meeting, which can be held in between conventions, and that would be telephonically. GDUY has telephonic voting, so they don't have any voting in person at convention. The main thing would be if we have a delegate and alternate delegate there, they would be a part of helping to make recommendations to who would be elected for ACB board and officer positions, and you know, just generally being there for sessions during convention. Right. No, we don't. We haven't traditionally done that, but it would be something.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's Aisha, right? Charlene O'Neill, I'm sorry. all right, Charlene O'Neill, or no, makes a motion that we have a special meeting to specifically address the issue of nominating a delegate and alternate delegate. Before this motion started, Lee actually proposed the idea of it being in the middle part of May. I would entertain dates if we have a calendar. Actually, I do have a calendar that I can look at. I'm looking at the wrong thing. 15th is a Wednesday? Okay. I would say if we could do it during that week, Monday would be the 13th. That would be good. The only day I will say I know for myself is not good as Tuesday. Otherwise, I'd be flexible. Right.
Also, we have a GDUC list that is going to go up when, husband? Probably next week. We just had some kinks we had to work it out in it. And once we get it up and everybody subscribed, we can send out notes that way too, and to see if somebody is actually going to the national. I had to think about for those who have email. But it will be up and running. We have it all ready to go just about. There was just one thing that we had to figure out. But it's going to be, what, GDUCL? GDUC something? -L. So it will be up and running, and we'll send out a subscription for everybody who wants to sign up. But that people, we could put out a note on that, and people can send in, let us know if they want to go also.
Yeah, that'll be a good way for us to. All right, so we and. Okay, so Lee Morton seconds the motion. Is there any other discussion regarding the motion itself? All right, then all those in favor?
Aye.
Nays? Abstentions? I do think we should publish a date now because that would be a good thing. That way we can be starting to let people know that that'll take place. I don't know about anybody else, but I will propose unless someone majorly objects, Monday, April 13th. This is April 13th. See, that goes to tell you that I have today in my mind very clearly. May 13th. Okay, then we will make sure reminders go out, and that also then, Lee, if you would make sure we put something together to go out as a special notice for forward, and David, that would also be helpful if you would help up with that too. Good question. Good time. How is 7 o'clock for everyone? Or should we do it earlier? I know Mutt-Strutt meetings take place as well. Not that day.
We don't meet the second Monday
of
the month.
Okay.
I don't have to worry. San Francisco meets Thursdays.
Okay. All right, so 7 p.m. Okay, so 7 p.m. Hey, this is the one time I don't have to worry about Eastern time zone. Yay. Okay. So that's what we will do then in regards to that. Let's see here. All right. 7, I have down. I know that some resolutions have been brought forth to the resolutions committee. And I would like for the membership to be allowed to have some discussion about that so that we can make a due recommendation to the resolutions committee based on our own opinions. And I know that Ken has enough information about these resolutions that he can even speak on them if you would like. And Pam has... Yeah.
Is Don here?
Good question. Okay. I don't have that one. Wait, I might. Hold on. I'll let you read the first one. And okay. And
California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind. Whereas, the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind was established in the late...
I'm trying to get the mic close enough to so they can hear it.
Volume 10.
Can you guys...
guys here, can we?
Put it on, it goes to 15, doesn't it?
It's not on the headset, no. I'm not on by itself.
Not the headset.
No, it doesn't go. It goes to 10 without a headset. Yes.
Speed. Speed 1.
What do you have?
Speed 0.
I got it as close as I do, unless they can turn up the PA some.
Oh, is this the new one?
No, this is the old one.
Oh, no, it only goes to 10.
Yeah, so it goes to 10.
You're going to have to.
Because we do it at our meeting, but for some reason, like, we can get it to work
that's
fine.
That's why we're trying with the mic here.
Yeah.
Stay.
Here, here's the mic.
All right. Where's the.
Here's the Victor.
Turn the Victor on. We'll just turn it back for him. Put it down, though.
1940s primarily for the purpose of preventing fraud and protecting people from being solicited for unwarranted funds, specifically for the purpose of starting up guide dog schools without doing
it.
Resolution. California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind. Whereas. The California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind was established in the late 1940s primarily for the purpose of preventing fraud and protecting people from being solicited for unwarranted funds, specifically for the purpose of starting up guide dog schools without doing so in good faith. And whereas numerous illegal efforts were made whereby individuals or groups received funds for starting up a guide dog school only to see these fundraisers take the money and disappear without any such guide dog school being put into existence. And whereas, some schools began operations without the consideration of any reasonable standards or best practices in place for the purpose of training or supplying well-trained guide dogs to persons who were blind or visually impaired. And, whereas, this new California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind began to set up legitimate fundraising, guide dog school startup procedures, and licensing standards for such schools and guide dog trainers in California. And, whereas, other procedures were later implemented without knowledge of the general public, including guide dog handlers, which now prevents out-of-state guide dog schools from working on occasion to help maintain the best training of guide dogs for those guide dog handlers who are blind and, through informed choice, decided to attend a reputable guide dog school out of California, and who may, on occasion, require assistance with a day or two of refresher maintenance from getting those periodic issues of work standards re-established as a team, unless the out-of-California guide dog school trainer coming to California was also licensed in California. And whereas the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind has also implemented a statute that the California guide dog schools turn in the names and addresses of all California guide dog graduates attending the three California guide dog schools for no known reason. And whereas, videos of persons attending any guide dog schools are required by apprentices preparing to take their tests to receive their California guide dog trainer's licenses without permission of those students. Now, therefore be it resolved by the California Council of the Blind in convention in the city of Sacramento, California, on April 14, 2013, that this organization urged the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind to inform all guide dog students of the fact that they may be used in videos by apprentice trainers obtaining their California State Guide Dog licenses, and that they must receive the student's permission to use their pictures. And be it further resolved that the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind inform guide dog handlers in California as to their ability to assist said handlers in cases of access issues in such places as housing, transportation, businesses, and in all areas of accessibility covered by both state and federal legislation. And be it further resolved that blind or visually impaired guide dog candidates be allowed to make an informed choice of attending an out-of-state guide dog school as their choice and receive updated guide dog skill maintenance by their school of choice without that trainer being licensed in California. And be it further resolved that the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind provide handouts to the three guide dog schools in California and other schools should they arise in California to give to their graduates, explaining in general what the purpose is of the State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind as a consumer entity. And be it further resolved that this organization finds sponsors in the legislature to sponsor such legislation to cover the above should that be necessary. And Be it further resolved that if compliance with the above is not possible, CCB will not support continuation of the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind and will seek legislation to have that board dissolved.
End of book.
Okay, if I can, and I'll explain it, and then, of course, Mary Beth can tell you about the other, and we'll take questions if you want. And I'll say it's my opinion. Margie Donovan and I worked on this. What has happened, at least the way we see it, the State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind was established in 1948, I believe it was. The purpose of the establishing of the board was due to the fact that there were a lot of issues that occurred prior to that where people were starting up supposed guide dog schools. They were cheating the public out of money. These parts we're all in agreement on as to why the board was established. They would start up a school, but they really never had any kind of best practices where they understood anything or were even concerned about really training guide dogs. Their purpose was to get money, close down the facility, and leave with the people's money. So the board was established. There were various statutes involved. And so they started watching new schools that would try and pop up, with the last one being, by the way, in the mid-90s, I believe it was Guide Dogs USA was going to try and start. Praise Guide Dogs. I'm sorry. They were talking about changing that other name, but the Praise Guide Dog. And that one, they found out that they didn't have good fundraising procedures, and so the board did not allow it to continue. I remember that. Charlene, yeah, I was president here, and Charlene, I remember we were involved in all that stuff up in Sacramento. Then apparently they also said that any person getting a guide dog at any school throughout the country had to have, if they came out here to California and had any kind of training work done or anything, that the school had to have a licensed trainer. However, they never enforced that part of the law, of the statute, until about 3 or 4 years ago, when all of a sudden the state board from 1949 at that point until 3 or 4 years ago finally said, if any of the schools come out here to help someone with some maintenance, they say training, but I say that once you have a guide dog from another school and they come out to assist you for a day or two, I called it maintenance at least, the trainer would have to be licensed in California, even if they were coming out from Pilot Dog, Seeing Eye, Guiding Eyes, any of the schools throughout the country. So what this resolution at least is stating is that we feel that people should be allowed through informed choice to choose whatever school they want to choose within the country, and that the schools generally, what some people are saying is that the schools out here in California, because they're licensed, have better, higher standards than the other schools. And we don't feel that that's necessarily true. I mean, it could happen in some cases where some schools are better than others, but we feel that the person, the candidate that's going to go for a guide dog to a school out of California would certainly study what that school offers, how they offer it, the type of training they have, and that they could, in fact, establish their informed choice as to what school they go to. Now, if they go, let's say, to Seeing Eye, Leader Dog, any of those, and then all of a sudden they call the school and say, you know, I'm having difficulty with this or that with my dog, could you send someone out? What the State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind is saying, they can't send anyone out to help that student unless they are licensed in California. And some of the arguments are, well, you know, if you're an attorney or a doctor, you have to get licensed in California to practice. Well, we're looking for 24, 72 hours of practice. So it's really, that's why I said it's more of a maintenance thing to us than it is a training issue. So that's why we feel that the state board needs to back down a little bit. We are not necessarily saying, a lot of people just think we automatically want to get rid of the state board. As you heard in the resolves, that is our last possible resolution to this situation. We would rather work with them. Other things include the fact that the State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind, when anyone gets a license, an apprentice trainer, and they're going for licensing, they actually do videotaping of themselves, you know, their training ability with the students that they're working with at the schools, and then they submit that to the State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind here in California. We're saying, and the students, at least I can say none of us ever knew about that all these years. We didn't know that they were taking films or videos of us without our permission. And we feel, at least, those of us in favor of this resolution, we feel that the school should at least have a waiver by the student who is willing to submit to allowing their picture to be taken, and that even though it's only going to the State Board of Guide Dogs, that no filming of an individual should be done for privacy reasons unless he or she gives their permission to have that done. So we're saying that the school should have a waiver. One area where we agree on both resolutions is that we think the State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind should also have information available in writing that the schools would give out, especially in California, that would demonstrate and explain exactly what the board does, how they can help an individual guide dog handler within the state, which no one really knows at this point. And as I said before, they also, when you get a guide dog from any of the three schools in California, they also have to give your name and address to the State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind. And again, I don't think any of you ever who've gotten guide dogs here in California ever knew that they were turning your name and address over to the State Board of Guide Dogs. So we're just saying that your identity should be between you and the school, and that it shouldn't have to go any further than that. That, I mean, that's at least our argument for this particular resolution. And any questions?
I have a comment.
Go ahead.
During all of the paperwork that you signed, I believe the PDA is when I signed it, one of the many multiple forms that we signed is a release.
For publicity's sake. Publicity. Yes, this is not publicity. This is for the apprentice trainers, though. That's not publicity, though. And it doesn't say anything about, it doesn't say anything that an apprentice trainer could be filming you or that your name and address is going to the board. It's only talking about articles being sent to your local newspapers. Any other questions? Mary Beth?
I did talk to one of the trainers at the school, and I asked her that question, and she said it's just a release form for newspapers or things like that, and they that was what she told me. So I don't know.
All right, there's a question. Yeah, why don't we give the mic since we're recording?
Ken, yeah, right here. There you go.
Hold on, Rita, I'm coming.
When my name, yeah, that would help, Sharon. When my name becomes Forrest Gump, then I'll run. Here you go.
Gump.
Here it is.
So my question is, the purpose for us reviewing this resolution here is for us to figure out whether or not we want to give it to the resolutions committee, or tell me.
The purpose is to see if GDUD will endorse one of the two resolutions, or endorse neither one, or
But then does it? Then does it go to the resolutions committee?
I don't.
Yeah, what will happen is at the business meeting on Sunday, we'll have resolutions. This will come out at that time, and the membership will vote on it. What we're looking for is how to vote the 5 votes for Gaduk.
Thank you very much.
Okay, who? You get it.
All right. Is there any other discussion? Okay. I'm going to do a switch here. And I'm going to do a little test just to make sure that it's, if I have to change speed, that's going to be a problem because I don't know how to do that quickly. We have one more resolution, and what I think I would like is if we read both of them. And then individuals can also ask questions of both things. Do you have his number, Lee?
I don't,
so. Oh, golly. Well, Lee, if you would be willing to help speak to it, that would be fantastic, because I'm feeling a bit on the hoarse side this morning, and I know it's because of my allergies and being in such a dry environment. Let's see how this.
Resolution Ray, California State Guide Dog Board.
Is everybody going to be able to understand it at that?
Yeah.
Resolution Ray, California State Guide Dog Board, submitted by, whereas, on or about 1948, 21 guide dog schools were operating in California, and whereas, led by some of the prominent leaders and members of the California Council of the Blind, advice was given to the California State Legislature which resulted in the passage of legislation to create the California State Guide Dog Board, the board, the only licensing agency of its kind in the nation, and whereas, due to the formation of the board, the number of guide dog schools qualified to train guide dogs in California was reduced to 3, and whereas, since 1949, the board has had the exclusive authority in California to issue licenses for the operation of guide dog schools and the licensing of instructors for the training of guide dogs and blind guide dog handlers, and whereas, the board has the above authority pursuant to Business and Professions Code Section 7200.5, and whereas, California is the first and only state in the nation to ensure that the quality of guide dog training programs and the competency of instructors meets or exceeds the standards of other schools across this nation, through a comprehensive examination and licensing procedure of California schools and their instructors, and whereas, the California Council of the Blind, CCB, has a long-standing, mutually beneficial history of partnering with the board, resulting in consumers, both within the state and across the country, who use guide dogs as their choice of mobility aid, being afforded well-trained dogs and an exemplary level of training from 3 of the top guide dog schools in the country. And whereas, the board, in order to assure the public in California that blind Californians who wish to obtain guide dogs from schools operating outside of the state of California that are not subject to our strict licensing requirements, has required all trainers instructing blind persons in the state of California in the use of a guide dog to be licensed by the state. Now, there. For be it resolved that the California Council of the Blind, by the adoption of this resolution, in Sacramento on the 11th of April, 2013, reaffirms its support of the existence of the California State Board of Guide Dogs for the Blind, and be it further resolved that the California Council of the Blind, through Guide Dog Users of California GDUC, its special interest affiliate, continue its long-standing collaborative relationship with the board with an aim toward the guarantee that consumers who are blind and visually impaired have access to exceptional training and services they have come to expect as California citizens. Period.
Whoops. Oh. Oh, Lee gets it. Who gets it?
Mary Beth, you need to ask what you're talking
about. And so anyway, I will. I know that Lee, you, and Dawn worked primarily on this, And so if you could help with giving comments, and then we can open it up for other comments as well.
Well, I guess I would say that this does have the history of why we needed the guide dog board. It does have, I guess, just the standard support that CCB and GDUC is usually given to the guide dog board. I don't know that there's anything really shocking in the thing. It's straightforward, and you either like it, or you either agree with it, or you don't. Yes.
Hang on. Wait. I'm sorry. Can we close the door? It is really annoying.
Okay.
Lillian's great.
Oh. So, my.
Of course.
So, my question is what does this resolution do? I mean, it's already established. I'm not clear what it changes. What does it?
Here. And we're working on the resolution that you and Lee helped write.
The guide dog board is established.
Hang on, Lee, okay. If you're going to talk.
The guide dog board is going through its sunset review process right now, and so this is a resolution that is going basically reaffirming CCB's support for the state board as it goes through the legislative process.
And Don, if wants to add more to it.
No, actually, that is exactly what I would say as well.
Okay.
It's certainly affirming CCB's.
What was the question?
To make some kind of a movement so I can figure it out.
The first one you read, the end of it is a threat. If they don't stop requiring that the instructors from other states be certified by California, we are threatening to have them dissolved. And in this one, we're reaffirming that we want them. So isn't that kind of, at odds with each other?
Well, yes, exactly.
Here, Ken, hand it to Pam.
I got it.
Okay, you guys, I'm not one of the most eloquent speakers in this room, but when I listen to both resolutions are pretty much saying the same thing, but in a different way. The first resolution is just asking, can these things be fixed before CCB or GDUC backs them? And the second resolution is saying CCB and GDUC have always backed the board, so let's continue to do it. Okay, I'm not finished. Okay. I know, but what I'm going to say, Diane, what I want to say, is there any way that Ken, Don, Margie, and whoever else can sit down and combine the two and figure out a way to combine the two? Because both resolutions are saying the same thing, but in a different way. I mean, because when I listen to both resolutions, Lillian, can I finish, please? The first resolution is not threatening anybody until we get to the last resolve, okay? We are trying to figure out ways to work with the state board. Second resolution is totally backing the board regardless of what they do. Okay? It did. Yes, it did. To me, my opinion, okay? My opinion. All I'm saying is that's my opinion. We don't need to fight about this. We are all GDUC members. Let's figure out a way to work together as a team to support the board to help them fix the problems. I don't like the fact that the board has my name and address and telephone number. I don't. Okay, phone number, okay. But they could get it, okay? But they don't want it, that's fine. There's things that I agree with the board doing. There's some of the things I don't. So I think that if we need, in my opinion, find a way to work together as GDUC.
Can I have a comment that I want to make. The one difference in these is the fact that with the guide dog board didn't used to enforce trainers coming from out of state to not be able to assist their students that are in the state of California. This resolution takes, the first resolution, takes care of that. There is a threat that if they don't do it, to disband the board. It might be if we, instead of saying disband the board, that we would take steps to encourage or, yeah, that we would take steps to rectify that situation. Instead of saying disband the guide dog board, just say take steps to rectify if the guide dog board doesn't go for, you know, enforce what we're asking, work the way we're asking, that we would take steps to rectify the problem.
Why don't you let Don, I mean, if Don doesn't mind, I think he needs
to. Yeah.
I'm not sure where to start, to be honest. Some background, I think, is helpful. what the resolution number two, we named them number one and number two last night. Resolution number two focuses on continued support. That's the crux of the resolution. And that type of suggestion comes from the reality that over the last year, a number of us have been interacting with the Guide Dog Board with respect to some of the issues raised in resolution number one. And what we've seen in that interaction over the last year, we've seen the Guide Dog Board move quickly toward adopting regulatory language to address the issue of complaints, how complaints are handled, et cetera. So in short, the Guide Dog Board is being responsive to consumers. The other issue with respect to out-of-state instructors, it's the case that out-of-state instructors have to be licensed in the state of California. That has been the case since 1948. This is nothing new. Whether it's been enforced or not, I think, is irrelevant. What's relevant is it's part of the regulations, and that is what's required. And this is not specific to guide dog instructors. The state of California is a consumer-protected state. We have over 80 boards that oversee pharmacists, oversee smog check stores, oversee manicurists, cosmetologists, etc. And guide dog instructors just happen to be one of those professions that is licensed in the state and has to be regulated by some board or another. So I think if we could look at this outside the context of guide dogs, because we tend to get a little emotional when it's around our dog, but if we can look at it in the context of, for example, a pharmacy. When you have a prescription filled, that pharmacy has your name and address, and it goes to a board in Sacramento that oversee and regulate pharmacies. So the good news, though, in all of this is we are the only state in the country who licensed guide dog instructors. And so there, no other instructor in the state, in the country, has to sit for an examination, has to show its work on video before it's licensed as an instructor. So this is good stuff. And it means that we're, as people, as handlers, we are being treated as adults, as consumers. So the boards, the guide dog, I'll shut up after this. The guide dog boards, one of its primary purposes is to ensure the safety of guide dog handlers. And the way that they do that is by licensing instructors and making sure that instructors have certain competencies in order for them to hold a license as an instructor. I'm afraid that the resolution number one, given its tone, I'm afraid that it may set back the work that we have managed to accomplish with the Guide Dog Board over the past year. And further, I'm concerned that the threat and the ultimatum is not a strategy to be collaborative around. So that's how these two resolutions differ. It differs in terms of content, because it's not true that the Guide Dog Board has phone numbers of anyone. Okay, and it's not the case. I'm not sure if you guys talked about the videotaping before you got here. Okay, just a second on that. The Guide Dog Board uses videotapes to evaluate apprentices who are applying for licenses. This is like their resume. They submit a videotape to the board, and that tape is reviewed by experts to determine whether or not these persons have the competencies to be licensed as instructors. Now, the guide dog board has nothing to do with who appear in those videos. They only use the video as an evaluative a tool, but they have no arrangement, contract, involvement at all in terms of who the candidate, in this place the apprentice, choose to have in his or her video. So that's not a board issue at all. And finally, the resolution number one talks about the guide dog board should advocate on behalf of consumers. It should provide this service or that service. The guide dog board is a regulatory board. It's not a service agency. It does not provide services. So we think resolution number one is off the mark on that point, as well as a number of other factual inaccuracies.
Can I make a suggestion?
Hang on. I got a Dodge dog swimming around.
So since I'm just new to this, I'm not, I guess we're not trying to come to one resolution, or are we? Are we trying to come to one, or are we voting on two resolutions? Okay, because I'm one of these people who has to get to the bottom line. I need to know the bottom line. Okay, so what if we changed the first one in trying to come to a midpoint? What if we change the first one to say we would like for the board to request that students sign releases as part of the releases, that they may be part of a video for an apprentice? That way the student knows why they're getting involved, what the videotaping is about. It puts the power back in the hand of the consumer. So maybe that's a way to, you know, and that's something I'll bet the board would consider. And take out the last line for right now. We can always create another resolution if needed. I'm just trying to think of a way to combine or come together on something.
Hang on. He's just saying you're right. I won't. That's quick.
Yeah, I don't know. Now, I don't know about if they turn in, I don't believe they get your name and phone number, but they probably, they do have, get the records from schools for the year. But I think a lot of that is, let's face it, they have to look at how the training has gone for a school during that year, and they're looking, some of the things, they're not looking at it to get into your privacy. Yeah. Yeah, they don't take. And
wait. Okay, when the two of you are going to talk, I've got to be the hand off the microphone.
Okay, I'm going to ask Don a question. And I'm talking about a compromise, Don. So I think you and I can work together. We've done it before. What I'm wondering, would you guys go along if we took that last resolve out? And not have it perceived as a threat, could we go along by maybe trying to establish that any trainer that is in California from an outside school for less than 1 week would not have to be licensed? Would you guys be willing to go along with that for a 1 week period? For no license, and that we can also count any kind of retraining instead of the word training, that we use it as maintenance.
Here comes the mic. I think it would be up to the California legislature to decide that, because, well, I'm not sure if it's reasonable. I think we certainly want a resolution that is doable. It sounds good, but what's the reality of that happening? Because again, we're not simply talking about the guide dog board. We're talking about any, if this is a precedent, we're talking about any profession that needs to be licensed here. Okay, you come here as an attorney, And we said, okay, you can practice law here for 1 week. And it doesn't, I think it sets a bad precedent. And if I could just finish, I think it would set a bad precedent. Obviously, it sounds reasonable, but the fact is it's not doable because it requires legislative statutory changes, which is, you know, we're talking years and years in the process. And one final thing on the videotaping, I do think it's a solution looking for a problem. There's not been one case of any student complaining or making public unwillingness or being coerced in any way to be in videos. What do you mean? I don't know if anyone is being forced to participate in videos.
They do it without you knowing it. They could. Madam President, can I speak? David, hang on. Where's David? There he is. Okay. I got to find David. Oh, okay.
I just wanted to say that there are professions in California that do have multiple licensures. I know that lawyers, when you take the bar here, you have the option of having a multiple license to practice in a number of states. So the thing I'm thinking of is, why cannot these trainers be licensed in multiple locales, local environments? Okay, here you go.
Let me get it back to you.
I'm not sure. But the question that he asked had to do with licensing. Yeah. And what we know is that there are 52 instructors in this country licensed by the state of California, and they don't all live here. What we know is that 3 of the guide dog schools have instructors on staff who are licensed in the state of California. So this becomes a consumer issue. As consumers, we need to make decisions of where we attend, what school we attend. And if we, as consumers, choose to attend a school knowing that that school does not have instructors who could do follow-up services with us, that's a consumer choice. And I do think we need to treat us handlers as adults, as being able to conduct that analysis and make the choice for us as smart consumers.
Okay, my comment that I've been trying to get to is that it's true. Beauticians, lawyers, pharmacists, nurses, all kinds of people have to be licensed and take exams. But how many choices do you have of where you go? When it comes to getting a guide dog, how many choices do you have to go? A person may be familiar, have had dogs from a certain, like say CNI, they were on the East Coast, they moved to California, they want another dog from the school they're used to. I personally believe that it's, you get a better placement with a dog if you go to a school that you've been to before. They know you. The more you get, the more you know. So what this does, this not letting other instructors come in, prevents people, and it stops you from making that choice. You don't really have a free choice. You can either do one of 3 schools or not get service. So unless they're licensed, they can't work with the student. But I don't know, I don't get a list of schools that have licenses when I, or have licensed instructors when I get my dog. And, well, the thing is there's no way to know. Most people, when they first go to get a dog, do not know all about the guide dog board, don't know where to go and get all this information. And you know, to find out who is and is not licensed for the state of California, who or who, you know, does not have the the ability to come and assist me in the state of California. But I think that it needs to be recognized guide dog schools, and then maybe the word recognized needs to be put in there, because if different states have schools that have gotten property licensed and, I mean, you know, business licenses and stuff like that, they're not fly-by-nights. So maybe a friendly type thing would be to say, recognize, and I've seen that before, recognize guide dog schools. Somebody want to speak? Oh.
I was just going to make a comment. If they're videotaping us, I think they should tell us. We don't know that. We're blind. I mean, if somebody has a video camera, how many of you are going to see the video camera? A couple of you maybe. But I think that's something they should tell us. We have the right to know that. I think we should also know that our names and addresses are going to the board.
Hang on, I'm coming. I'm checking my door.
I'm going to make some suggestions that I hope will simplify this discussion, because we've got about 8 balls in the air at once that we're trying to bounce around here. Now, I am not as alert as I would like to be this morning, so if I misspeak, feel free to correct my perceptions here. But as I understand it, we are discussing 2 resolutions, the first of which is essentially a laundry list of problems that we see with current procedure that we wish to be addressed and corrected. The second one, if I understand correctly, is a very clear, concise, historical review of the Guide Dog Board, its purpose and its role, with a resolve clause offering our continuous endorsement of the board. It is. I'm going to start by making a motion regarding number 2 that we can discuss, and then after that, I wish to make a motion regarding number 1, because we should be operating by motion here. Tell me when you're ready, and I will proceed. You ready?
Yes.
Okay. My first motion, and I apologize for making a negative motion, but I don't have a better idea, is that I move that this, and I'm going to have to explain why, because it's not going to make sense. I move that we not take a position on the second resolution. And I wish to explain why. Is there a second for the purpose of discussion? Thank you. My reason for not wanting us to take a position on this second resolution, and let me preface by saying that I commend the work that was put into crafting this resolution. It gives a very good explanation in very concise terms of the history and the purpose of the board. It would be an excellent piece to be prepared for publication in the Blind Californian. However, I don't think it's necessary for GDUC to take a position on this resolution. I wouldn't go as far as to say we should oppose it, but I would say we don't need to take a position, because, as I understand the resolve clause, it doesn't do anything new. It doesn't change in any way CCB's current status and position with respect to the board. We already support the existence and work of the Guide Dog Board, and so I think that the resolve clause of the resolution is not necessary. Now, I understand the reason for the authors having done it, because it's very informative, but I think the proper place to use to do the informing is in terms of perhaps placing an article in the Blind Californian, perhaps being arranging for some time on our convention program to give a report about the Guide Dog Board history to educate the membership. But a resolution is not the correct way to go about that. However, again, I do appreciate the good work that was put into the explanation that exists in that document.
Thank you.
And that is why I would request that we take no position regarding resolution number 2.
If I'm right, Frank, if we take that position, because it's saying to back getting the guide dog board renewed and are not, you know, sunsetted or disbanded or whatever, the vote is going to be a yes in favor of or a no against. There is not a neutral vote. So how does your motion enable a neutral vote?
Well, I may be misspeaking here, and if I am, then I would certainly change my position. But if I understand the position of the council, we're already in favor, in support of the renewal of the authorization of the guide dog board. In other words, if we didn't have this resolution, we're not going to be on record against the board, or we're not, in other words, we're already going to be on record in support of continuing the sunset. Now, if I am mistaken, I would certainly want to go forward with this. But if I am correct, then this resolution would be superfluous, and it would be. And if we have the authority to do so, I would have us withdraw that resolution. But if you want to check with the reference chair first to make sure that's the case, and perhaps check with Jeff Tom, if an endorsement of the board is necessary, then I would certainly support going ahead with this resolution.
No, hang on. We're still under discussion, Don. Okay, sure. You get priority.
We have the motion, but if there's a second, I would need a second. Okay, who was the person that seconded? Ken. All right, thank you. That's all. I just wanted to make sure.
Back to
the motion is to not support.
Right.
I think, Frank, I appreciate your. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, swallow this mic here. I appreciate your attempt to find the middle ground, because I do think that's where we need to go. I do take some exception with the characterization of the resolve, because I do believe that it is an action item enclosed in the resolve. That is to reaffirm a commitment to the guide dog board. Interestingly enough, based on what you said, it made me mindful of the fact that CCB is not on record supporting the guide dog board through the sunset process. And one of the things this resolution will do in the action resolve is to have CCB on record in a way that you may be assuming is already the case. So I do think the resolve is action-oriented. I do think that it provides clarity with respect to CCB and the sunset process and the guide dog board, and clarity in the face of information coming out of CCB regarding the guide dog board, including resolution number 1, including the Senate testimony a couple of months ago. Based on those documents, it's not clear that CCB does in fact support the guide dog board.
Hang on, here's Lee.
Okay, I move to basically support resolution 2, but I think there are some very important issues in resolution 1 that I don't think we can just sweep under the rug.
We're only discussing resolution 2,
because
that's where the
resolution 2 only. Okay, so resolution 2, we support it. Okay, then I'll bring up my other stuff later. I think we should form it for 1 and work on these problems with the board.
Okay, the motion, just to help, the motion, and if I'm wrong, Frank, let me know. The motion is that we take a neutral position on resolution number 2. We don't vote. Hang on.
I apologize. I think that I need to revise my resolution to be more clear. And yes, you're correct. My original motion was to take a neutral position, and I wish to withdraw that and replace it with an affirmative motion for that. For this, is, let me state it clearly. I move that GDUC take a position in favor of Resolution 2, which resolution will endorse the renewal of the Guide Dog Board's charter.
Oh, Nellie did. Okay. Nellie seconded that motion. So now the motion is to support it.
I'll be happy to comment then. I'm thinking that if we take a position with resolution number 2, that means then resolution 1, and I'm just doing it for clarification. Resolution number 1, therefore, would be disregarded because you can't take a vote to affirm resolution number 2 and then go back to 1. You can't do that. So therefore, if we're going to vote on 2, then it has to be dropped right there.
Very good.
Do either Frank or Don have a comment? And that's Frank. All right.
Okay. How about go to Don and then?
Okay. I think if we support resolution number 2, I don't think that means we drop resolution number 1. I do think. And after we discuss this, perhaps I will make a motion to say that we look at the laundry list included in 1 and work on it as a board of GDC to address some of those issues with the board. So I don't think it's obsolete, resolution 1, the issues involved in that resolution, if number 2 is supported.
I think I'm in line with Don. I think that we can still consider resolution number 1. Obviously, take the position we take on resolution 2 may affect our position regarding the language in 1 as to certain clauses. We still can discuss it.
Okay. The comment was to have two comments. This is a request of the president, so I'm bringing it back to her.
All right, we have a time restraint, and the only way we're going to resolve our time restraint is if we extend our business meeting. And we do have the reading of the constitutional changes to deal with, so we do need to take that into consideration. So I'd prefer that we call for the question. Well, all right. If the membership wants to do this longer, we're going to have to not have as much discussion, if there will be discussion, in regards to the Constitution. If there's something new. New. Nellie. Okay.
Oh, Vita. Whoops, I'm trying to get through.
Thank you. I'd like to call for a secret ballot because this is a heated vote, and I don't think it's fair for us to... I'm sorry, can you please listen to my motion? That's my request, because that way we don't need to... I just think it keeps... all of us working together. That's my point. That's all.
It wasn't a motion, it was a request. Oh, it was a motion? Okay.
You could do it as a point of information.
She can do it as a point of information. I have one thing. Okay, just one thing. Is that okay? Just one thing. Okay, I'm going to make it fast. She told me to make it fast. Okay. Now, the only thing I have to say is we are, Vita's right, this needs to be secret ballot because there is a lot of tension in this room right this minute. We all want the same thing. We just feel like we need to go about it different ways. Can we, and I don't want nobody throwing shoes at me or nothing, can we put both of them on hold, let Don, Ken, Frank, and whoever work on both of them? Okay, fine. Okay, fine. Okay, here, man.
I was. Yeah. Charlene, you're the only one here in the room. If we could get one of the puppy raisers, I think that would be an objective person. Or a volunteer from the front desk. Right. Paper I have, but I don't know how much paper. A golden retriever is missing in the room. How many people are in the room? How many are, including the front table, how many people do we have in the room? Actually, I think, yeah, let's do show, but we'll need to have somebody. If you're a member, raise your hand. 13? Okay. I have 13 pieces of paper. This works out. It couldn't have worked out better if I'd have tried. So, yes, go ahead and just tear them off of there. Yes, everybody that's a... Yeah, we will be doing that. Let's go ahead and pass it out, and then if we could restate the motion so that... we know what we're going to be voting on.
Raise your hand if you're a member, please.
I'm going to, after I'm done with this, and we're going to have the resolution or the motion restated. I would like to say if you're going to vote yes for the motion, don't do anything to what you have. And I would say that if you are going to vote no to the motion, fold the paper in half, unless somebody has a better suggestion. Or tear a corner. Okay. There we go. We can follow CCB. We can tear a corner. There we go. That's right. So we'll do that. Don't. If you're voting yes, don't do anything. If you're voting no, tear off a corner. And if we could have the motion restated, then we'll go from there. Frank, let's get the mic to Frank. And then let him restate the motion, and we'll move on.
It is moved that GDUC endorse what we are calling resolution number 2, which supports the rechartering of the guide dog board through the sunset process.
Okay. All right. So go ahead and make your decision, and then, because since we're not doing a voice call, and when you're done, if you could raise your hand, and we'll have our volunteer take the ballots and count them. Yeah. I don't think we've ever had such a quiet period. I mean, my brain isn't, it's like, wow, where's all the noise? Telepathy. All right, we have 9 yeses and 4 noes, so the motion carries. All right, Frank is asking for the mic, and so Frank can have the mic first. Kate, can you be our...
I move that, this is going to be a bit of a complex motion, I apologize, but given the complexity of Resolution 1, I think it's necessary. I move that we go through each clause of Resolution 1, that we divide the resolution and vote on each clause in turn, and that based on the result of our deliberation, we propose if there are certain parts of the resolution that we do not accept, that we propose an amendment on the floor to strike those as necessary. Hearing the sense of the room, I withdraw that motion. And instead, I'm, for the sake of discussion and to move this forward, I move that we support Resolution 1. This is Resolution 1, the complicated one. I actually plan to make some amendments myself, but I want to put this forward to open the discussion again on Resolution 1. And I would defer to someone else to give us to speak in favor. It would be appropriate to call for amendments now.
Did somebody want the mic?
I would like to make a friendly amendment that the Resolution 1 be given back to the originators of the resolution for rewrite and resubmit at our future meeting.
But it would
things. Personally, I will go along with that. And Margie and I actually, you know, talked about this. I did write this. And I think when, just so you know, some of the things that we'll rewrite, I will certainly not include the final resolve clause because obviously we're going to support the state board. So I will tell you ahead of time, that clause will be out of it. And fairly, I mean, I think that, you know, there's a point where when there's a vote taken, you know, we know when to back off. But we're not going to back off from what we believe. And so we're going to work with the board and do what we can. And we will have this redone for you by the fall convention. And it will be done at least with many of the whereas clauses left. And the resolve that we do work through the legislature to change some of the statutes.
Would you like the? Let me suggest to you, Ken, if we accept this, that. Because you're going back to rewrite, I would suggest that you request the assistance of others in GDUC because you, the two of you, have already put down your thoughts, and it's going to be hard for you to completely change them. Or you know, I think you need some other people to help you. And having said that, I'll help you out. There you go.
Okay.
All right. Okay. So I'm not hearing any other comments. All right. Then everybody understands the motion? All right. Is everybody comfortable with us doing a voice vote? Or should we? All right. Technically, it'll be a task force, I think, at this point. Yeah. Yeah. And I think if we'll deal with the motion and then we'll deal with the members of the task force. You better include Margie. Anyway, let's do the vote first, please. So if we're okay with a voice vote, I would like for all those in favor of the motion to say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against? Abstentions? All right. Now then, in dealing with who's going to be on the task force. Okay, for the task force, we're going to have Ken. We're going to have Margie, Dawn Brown. I'm sorry. She doesn't type 100 words a minute, neither do I. I'm sorry. Ken Metz, Margie Donovan, Dawn Brown, Vida, and I know that Vida, I would like to ask Frank if he would also join the task force. Yes. And Frank has a lot of experience. So, Frank, if you would also be a part of this task force. Okay. And I think we'll go with that. That was easy. We had fun now, didn't we? It is now after 10. Okay. I think we could still do this. Technically, our program is from 10:15 to 11:30. The planned program was to read because I felt that it was important for members to know what the old Constitution said, read what the proposed changes that were brought forward, and there are a couple of additions to that proposed, to one opposed, so I know that that was brought forward as well. We would not vote on any of these changes, though, because we did not mail or email anything to the membership within the 30 days. If we think we can handle that in, say, a 30-minute time period between, say, 20 minutes after 10 to 10 minutes to 11, and then allow for Joe from the State Guide Dog Board to have some time after that, then I'm okay with continuing the program the way it is. Is everybody okay with that? Okay, then let's do that. We will reconvene at 10:20 unless there's any other business. Motion to adjourn. Or recess. No, we're voting to adjourn because the next part is actually a program item, technically. So we motion to adjourn. Ken and... It would be, except for there are... We can read the bylaws as well. However, there are no proposed changes to the bylaws that were proposed. No, there were not. Not the bylaws. So... Yeah. All right. So by 20 after 10, everybody needs to be back in this room. Oh, and I'm going to just announce now we will have door prize tickets handed to everybody at lunch. Make sure you bring your ticket with you to the lunch. They will be collected. And no ticket, no food. And if you don't have a ticket, go to the desk and get one because there are some left. And I think they'll accommodate it. Thank you.